No one needs to hear our no our business. Infighting. I hate you guys, man. No. what type of order are you guys doing this discussion in?
The order I put it, and then we'll just do it in any order that I choose people on.
What? What does that mean?
The order you put the exact it in. Order, the order I wrote, the exact order I wrote it on, and the order okay. people will do it on will be who I call on first.
Well, here's the question, though: is it going to be each individual person's giving their thing, and then we
one
do it again
time.
For the next thing?
No,
that's not helpful.
We'll all do a movie, and then we'll all do a TV show.
There we go.
All, yeah,
okay. There we
obvious.
Go.
That's the only way I can think of it in my head. It's not like one of us is going to list everything.
Thank you.
It sounded like Jammer. It based on what you said.
that's good. All right. Cool. I'm all well. Let me check my mic. Goes off. It goes off. I'm all set. You guys all set?
I'm all set. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the last episode of the year of Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, the premier flagship international official every sort of podcast it can be for LRMonline.com and the Genreverse Podcast Network. I am here today with not Jonesy, everyone but Jonesy. I got your Jammers, I got your Kyles on the ones and the twos, and I got your Dannys. And of course, I'm Nick, here to celebrate the last show of our third year as a podcast. How is everyone doing today?
All good. Great. Here. All good here in the sun and the rain of Dubai. We've had rain this week, people. Rain, my word. I even had to put the roof on the Jeep.
We had the rain roof? Yesterday. Oh. It's Colorado.
For a second, I was just like, the rain on the Jeep? What does that mean? But I'm like, wait, yeah, you got one of those cool Jeeps with the convertible style thing. Does it have a door?
Yes, sir. Yes, it has two doors, and we use it to get in and out of the vehicle. But I know what you mean, Jammer. Yeah,
that was a very condescending way to answer that question. But I'm saying there's Jeeps without doors. Those exist.
I gotta ask a question. Does Dubai get as awfully muggy when it does rain as Kuwait does? Because that was awful.
Yeah, that's a great question. If and when it rains in the summer, Kyle, then yes, because it does feel like it's still raining when it stopped raining. But during the wintertime, it is now. We get down to about 8 or 9 degrees and stuff. So centigrade, that is, by the way, guys, for the American viewers and listeners. So when it rains, it just feels cold and wet.
Nice. During the summer, so it's kind of like home for you.
Exactly.
So today...
Sorry, go ahead.
Go, Jammer.
No, go ahead, Nick.
So today, we don't have any news stories. We didn't watch anything special, but we're going to go over the things we liked and disliked the most about the year of our Lord 2022. You know, favorite movie, favorite TV show, least favorite movie or TV show, and then two surprises. So I guess if anyone wants to add anything else before we begin, you fellas want to start?
Are we not doing the pissed off?
Two surprises. Jeez. Now there are no surprises. Most pissed off thing and best discovery.
Sorry.
It wasn't really a surprise thing. I wasn't going to read it all. But thank you. Thank you for finishing it for me, Danny. So with that out of the way, Danny has to start with top movie because he's the last one to question me. Danny, what was your favorite movie in 2022?
Well,
but you could have seen it on any platform.
Yeah, you know what? It's been fantastic this year. There has been ups and downs, and there were honorary mention has to go to The Batman. I thought that was a fantastic movie. But let's be honest, if I'm going to go with a movie that has surprised expectations, has kept me excited and entertained all five times I've seen
it. I knew it.
I know where you're going. We all know where you're going. We know it's just going.
We all know where we're going. We're going to the danger zone, boys. Absolutely. For everything that it did for the movies, for the big screen, for a film that no one knew that we wanted until we got it, and then we're so happy we got it, for the fact that it broke $1 billion, it's still playing on the big screen here in Dubai. It's still got people going to watch it, that they're keeping it on the big screen. Without a doubt, the favorite film of the year, best film of the year, yeah, for lots of reasons, but I think it's definitely Top Gun Maverick for me, boys.
Wonderful. Well, I'll take it from here. It is not my top movie, but it is one of my honorable mentions along with The Batman. The thing about The Batman is that I think is interesting is it is a finely crafted movie, but I still have only seen it once. It's a movie that I'm like, I should start watching it. But then I'm like, but then I actually have to sit down and focus on it. It's not something you can just throw on and then get tangentially sucked into. It's something I'm like, I really feel like I have to be dedicated to. And I just haven't been in the mood to do that. So on that alone, I can't give it to that. And this is my favorite. I'm not saying best. This is my favorite movie of the year. And for me, it has to be Glass Onion. I've already watched it seven times. I've watched this movie so many times.
Nerd.
Yeah, I know. I've watched it seven times, and then I've seen like I've peeled back the layers of said, you know, glass onion.
No, that's it. I'm shutting this down. No puns. No puns like that. No more.
It's not
puns
a pun.
Like that.
Not a pun. It's legitimately what it is. But what I appreciate about Glass Onion is that it's very clever in how the mystery is set up. You don't really know what the mystery is for a good while.
I'm really sorry. I've got to stop. I'm really, really sorry, buddy. I really wouldn't do this. I haven't actually seen it yet. I've been in the UK when it was dropped, and I've got back, and I haven't seen it yet. And I know you're going to love talking about it. If you're going to spoil it,
I'm not going to spoil anything. I'm not going to spoil anything.
You'll avoid spoilers on all of this today.
Yeah, I'm not spoiling anything.
I did want to stop you, but I do really want to watch it and didn't want to be
spoiled.
No. Sorry,
I will not spoil it. But it's really funny, very finely crafted mystery. And what I like about it is how thematic it is with the concept of Glass Onion, or the song, the Beatles song. If you don't know, that's a Beatles song where the Beatles are essentially making fun of people who are reading into their lyrics. And they're saying essentially their lyrics are a glass onion, to where it's like, it looks like it has layers, but you could still see its center. There's no mystery there. It's really blatant in your face. Stop reading into it. And the mystery really does play into that whole idea. So very multi-layered, very funny. I've seen it several times, and I probably am going to watch it again today.
Nice. Good choice. Well, I might as well mention Batman as an honorable mention too, just because, and I have seen that like five times, and it is my favorite Batman movie ever, but it still couldn't crack my favorite film of the year. I actually have a tie, and it is both of your picks.
My two
favorite movies are Top Gun, Maverick, and Glass Onion, which I watched just to their power.
Man, do you guys hear that echo?
No.
Echo. He's making fun of us.
Oh, we're
all being the same shit.
That's twice now I've got you with that.
Asshole.
Jammer's taking everything too literally today.
Well, because he usually cuts in going like, hey, guys, you hear that feedback? He's like here to check us tech-wise, and instead he's being a dick.
He's here to roast you today. But I watched, so my sister's flight got delayed, so she obviously, like everyone else, so she didn't make it in time for Christmas. We were gonna watch Glass Onion as a family. Instead, my parents and I watched Top Gun. Everyone loved it. My dad takes a lot to love a movie because he's tired of these superhero movies where it's like CGI, smashy. So like he loved it. He thought it was funny and entertaining and good watch. And then we watched Glass Onion when my sister and her husband finally came into town, and everyone loved that. So I mean, if my whole family actually likes it, that's a good sign. That's not why I picked it. I thought Top Gun, like Danny said, was far above expectations. I was excited for it as a Tom Cruise movie, but I had no love for the first film. So just seeing how not just the jets, which I was expecting, but how well it was written with the poignant moments and the funny moments, and just how it was kind of, you know, spread out, even though it is Star Wars: A New Hope. If you think about the plot of that, or at least the mission they have to go on in that movie is Star Wars: A New Hope. But as Ryan George points out, he's absolutely right. And then, yeah, Glass Onion. I think it's better than Knives Out. It's really hard to compare them because they are.
It's still hard.
Very
it's still
different.
Hard for me. Very different movies, for sure.
Like you go from like a fall like mansion, like East Coast movie to like it's like a summer paradise type location, which is fun. Super clever. I've only seen it three times. You notice new things every time, and you're like, oh snap, that's how that you know all fits together. So yeah, I would absolutely say. I said we can only pick one everything, boys, but I said unless there was a dead tie, and I couldn't pick Top Gun or Glass Onion, one over the other.
Yeah.
Any awesome. Any other movie things
well,
folks want to say?
I think it's fitting. I think it's a very fun and poignant and very emotional movie that's very good, but it's also, for me, it's a lot of movie. It felt very long. And I don't want to say it dragged out, but it definitely, I was exhausted at the end. And by the end, I was like, I'm not sure I'm ready for this to be over. I'm like spent. I'm like freaking wrung out like a towel. And that's why it's a great movie, has a great character arcs and all that, and action scenes, and it's just weird as hell. But at the same time, I don't know if I want to watch it again.
I bought it, but I haven't watched it yet because I'm having trouble watching it. Just like whenever I want to watch something, there's a bunch of other stuff I want to watch. Like I just bought Clerks 3 and I loved it except for the cameos. But
oh, I haven't heard you talk about Clerks 3 yet.
I just saw it. I was going to talk to you about off mic, but yeah. Danny, did you see it? What do you think of Everything Everywhere All at Once before we move on?
Yeah, I was going to really disappoint Jammer now because I obviously haven't seen it yet either. And it's interesting. The reason why it's quite cool that you mention it though, Jammer, because when we were doing this, when we were prepping for this, or when I was prepping for this, it was easy to go on and go, you know, what films were released this year that maybe I've forgotten? And Top Gun Maverick was always going to be, it had won for me before I even checked it. But I thought that there must be some things I've lost. And the first film that came up was that film. Mm. And I thought, shit, I still haven't seen that yet. And it's meant to be good. The boys will recommend it. I must watch it. So it's interesting that you've picked that up as something else as a honorary mention for the year, because I've heard nothing but good things about it. So it's definitely going to be something that I'll watch very, very soon, maybe before the end of the year.
Mm.
As far as big misses go, meaning that things that I wanted to see but have not seen, on my list of things that I wish I had seen in theaters, so ironically, they're both horror movies, is Nope and Smile. I wanted to see those. I still want to see them, but I just didn't have a chance to see them in theaters.
Is Jammer adding shit to this? Adding shit to your list, Nick. It's the stuff.
I'm done. I'm done with movies. I'm done with movies. I'm done. That was it.
All right. Top TV show. Jammer, you go first. And obviously, had to air this year. You could pick a season of a show, but it was probably streaming. But it could have been any. I don't know how you would have watched the show that wasn't streaming that you liked. But go ahead.
Well, as we've discussed many a time here on Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast, Apple TV Plus is a force to be reckoned with in the world of TV. And it was tough for me because this year we had season 2 of both Ted Lasso and Mythic Quest, as well as we are getting currently season 3 of Mythic Quest. Was season 3 Mythic Quest last year? I don't know. But Mythic Quest season 3 is currently airing. I think their last episode maybe aired today or is going to be airing next week. Great season so far. I was really close. Oh my God. It's probably the most emotional season so far of the show of Mythic Quest. Really good stuff. But it's going to have to go to Severance because it is just an amazing original idea with impeccable and fitting production design that is both isolating and it's really isolating, but also beautiful at the same time. And I was just completely engaged throughout. My biggest problem with it was the big FU at the end where they're like, we're just going to end it right now. See you next year. And I was just like, ah, well, that's a bummer. But amazing show, amazing cast, amazing writing and production design. It's probably one of the most unique shows that I've watched this year.
I'll go next this time. I did not pick that. Well, I haven't actually seen that yet. But the point I wanted to make before I go into mine is I finally watched Apple TV Plus shows this year. Mm. And two of them made I'm not doing a full honorable mention list because I was looking through my list. I've seen 20 shows this year I would give an A+. I think this is the year of television.
What the hell? Just to get an A+. I feel like you need to reevaluate your
system.
There are
so many good TV shows this year. Kyle, you're quiet.
Yeah, but they're not all perfect. That doesn't need to be perfect.
Yeah, you don't need to hear him. You could read his remarks. He's not looking for you to hear him. But yeah, I'm curious. Sorry, Kyle. At some point, I do want to hear these 20 A+ TV shows that you've been seeing this year. It doesn't have to be now, but I am curious. That's a lot of A+. I don't even think I've seen 20 TV shows this year.
Oh, I crushed the TV this year. But Kyle, you're still not talking that we
Oh, my
hear.
God. Christine and there, I watched 26 anime this year.
Nice. And they were all A+s because it was anime. Anime stands for A. But A stands for anime. But I'll tell you the two iTunes ones. I mean, the Apple ones, just so you guys will know that I watched Apple. Severance and We Crashed were both fantastic.
Oh, I forgot about We Crashed. That was also very good. That's the Danny's given like the tilty head. It's a Jared Leto and Hathaway show about WeWork.
Oh, okay.
It's very
it's
good.
It's a very good show.
I watched about five shows like that.
But it's good.
That were about creators and stuff. And my favorite show of the year was The Biggest Surprise, The one I would probably pick last out of all the ones that would be on my list.
Can I guess it?
Yeah.
Was it Wednesday?
No. That's not my favorite show of the year.
Was it Andor. Stranger Things 4?
No.
Andor. Oh, fuck.
Andor. Because I never thought Star Wars could be that good. It was literally like, it's one of my favorite hours of Star Wars ever, even comparing it to the original. Not my favorite ever. One of my favorite hours ever. Better than certain hours of the original trilogy.
Is it up there with the other 550 A-plus hours of TV shows that you have?
Above. Like that. No. But yeah, I didn't think Star Wars could be interesting. I mean, like, I like Mandalorian. It's fun. But I didn't think it could be great again. Star Wars. And in fact, if you watch the old ones, they're not great. It's nostalgia. I mean, they're good. They're well written, but none of them are like
that. I think there's some pretty strong archetypal storytelling there that really helps keep it timeless.
And let's
think it's bad.
Let's keep the hot takes on Daily Cup of genre. That's our shtick. Okay, hot take. Not good. Where are we?
No, but I see your point though. You're talking about gray. The grayness is what you're talking about. It's like Star Wars. The grayest it's gone is The Last Jedi. Actually, The Last Jedi and Rogue One.
Yeah.
The Last Jedi and Rogue One, and then this.
Yes, and this has been the show I've been capturing new Star Wars fans with, because in not trying to imitate Star Wars, it is better Star Wars than anything we've seen since 1983. Everything else is kind of like I'm trying too hard to be Star Wars. It's like even Mando. It's like I'm gonna show you the same droid model that was with Boba Fett alongside the guy with the exact same armor of Boba Fett. And then now I'm going to throw in Luke Skywalker and all this stuff. And this one was like, screw it. This is a slow burning drama from most halfly. A lot of it from the perspective of the ISB, which is one of the most fascinating parts about it.
What was that sentence you just said? I didn't understand something ISB. What was that you said?
A good portion of the show is shown from the perspective of the ISB.
How's that?
The intelligence service in Andor.
Oh, okay, because I haven't watched Andor yet. I watched an episode and a half, and I got bored. I'll keep watching it.
Yes,
but I got
it is.
Bored.
This is Star Wars. That's not for children, like Jammer. The Star Wars is for adults who have patience and like drama and tension and politics.
You're saying this is the most Star Wars thing, and I'm not going to argue and say this is bad because I haven't watched all of it. I'm sure it's great. I'm going to love it when I watch it, but I'm not sure I would classify this as like, oh, this is pure Star Wars, because it's not. It's almost the antithesis of Star Wars. Not saying it's a bad thing, but to call this like the most Star Wars is like, I feel like inaccurate.
Yeah,
here comes an actually moment from the Star Wars super geek here. This is very much quintessential Star Wars, in the vein very much of everything from the OT minus Ewoks and musical numbers in Jabba's throne room.
No.
But
no.
It is not Star Wars. It is Star Wars for people that have grown up and are still Star Wars fans. It's Star Wars for the grown-ups. And I don't mean that as in mature because of sex, language, or violence. Mm-hmm. It's you need to have some more appreciation of life in general, some more maturity for it. So that could come at 25 years old for some. It might not come until 40 for others, but
damn,
that's what this is. This is
Star
Wars.
I just said the first episode and a half bored me, but I'd be giving it more time. Don't give me shit.
And you also called us out on saying how it could be the most Star Wars. We've only seen two episodes.
I don't think
and then Kyle agreed
the
with me.
I think Kyle's wrong. I think Kyle.
You have only seen
wrong.
Two episodes. You can't say anything.
Yeah. You're right. No, you're right. Based on the episode and a half that I've seen, you're right.
I've seen the trailer for Avatar. It's obviously not as Avatar-y as the first one. It's like saying that. You've watched a small percentage.
I don't know.
I watched
like an hour and a half of something.
Out
I think
of
12 I can at least
hours?
Judge that hour and a half. My point is the tone and the style of it doesn't feel Star Wars minus it doesn't feel at all OT. I'm sorry to say it does not feel OT at all based on that episode and a half.
Okay, then you need to get into
it. Does not what it does not feel OT.
Like Empire
OT
Strikes Back.
The original trilogy is black and white. I am sorry, it is black and white as fuck. There is nothing about that episode and a half I watched that is black and white.
It's not what we're talking
about.
We're not talking about that.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about
the feel and the style of it. What are you talking about?
I'm talking about it actually existing in Star Wars, that it is still Star Wars, because when you look around, when you're not looking at just Luke, Han, or Leia, and you're seeing the other aspects of the rebellion, like, this is all of that. That's all there. Yeah, sure, you're right. It's not as happy-go-lucky, so to speak, black and white in tone, but this is still the most Star Wars thing there is. And maybe that's why
I don't understand what you mean.
How do you?
Maybe you should watch it.
What do you mean by it is the most Star Wars thing? What
because
does that
it's
mean?
Everything else. Because
to me,
when I think of Star Wars,
this is Star Wars to me. Star Wars to me is archetypal storytelling set in a Western/sci-fi setting, with fantasy mixed in.
Okay,
that is Star Wars.
Yes, that's
Andor, based on an episode and a half, does not feel that way to me.
That's fine, but that's not the way that we're wording it. We're talking about it being Star Warsy, meaning being what is in Star Wars, not the genre outside analysis that makes up Star Wars. This is everything else in Star Wars that's not Luke Skywalker using the Force. This is when Luke is saying on his way to go fight the Death Star, as Han's packing up and leaving. He's like, look around you. Do you not see what these people are going up against? And you're just going to take your money and run. This is that expanded. This is the stuff that you see with the Empire and their politics and their war machine on the bridges of Star Destroyers, and moments between commanders and Vader. It's that expanded. Like, that's what makes this so much Star Warsy. It's
sort of the headcanon expanded. It's the headcanon expanded. I don't mean this in a condescending way. I basically, because when we watch Star Wars, we imagine, like, oh, this is what's going on behind the scenes that we don't get to see.
Yeah.
And it's that actually played out. So that's what you mean. Okay. Now I understand.
There you go.
I can agree with that.
Okay, because that argument just felt like arguing with someone who's only read the title of an article and you've read the entire article.
I'm sorry, an hour and a half is not nothing. That's a
good
chunk of
time. Out of 12 hours,
that's
a tiny percentage of show.
That is fair.
It's like watching the first 15 minutes of a movie and being like, this
is
not Star Wars.
Is the first hour and a half of the show not representative of what the show is like?
I would say it definitely grows and gets a lot better. Yeah, the first hour and a half were pretty tame. Yeah,
I'm sure it does, but does it still kind of have that slow burn feel?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's an adult. That's why he explained it as mature Star Wars.
That's why I'm saying is that, like, that feel I get, I'm sure I'll get more attached to it, but that's just the feel that I got from it, which to me does not feel what I imagine Star Wars at. Anyways, Danny, how you doing? How you doing over there, Danny?
I'm good. And as a Star Wars fan, I'm enjoying this very, very much. I did enjoy Andor. Are we ready to get my top TV?
Yes. Please.
Andor is definitely in the mix here. What I did love about this year, or what I tried to do this year when we went to the top TV show, was avoid seasons, extra seasons, meaning, of course, I love Ted Lasso. It's one of the best shows ever to have been on television, full stop. And we had season two of that. We also had season three of The Boys, and I love The Boys. So we've had some second, and as Jammer rightly said, we've got Mythic Quest as well. We just almost finished season three. So I thought to myself, I'm going to go, what's a show that I've really felt has been the best show for me this year that I've recently discovered, or it's a brand new one? So honorary mention for me, I was late to the game, was Sandman. I was super late watching that on Netflix. And as soon as I started watching it, I was enthralled by it. I thought it looked stunning. The production value for a relatively unknown product by me and maybe a certain others on Netflix, they certainly put their heart and soul into it. And to put Neil Gaiman's books on the bigger screen, like they did, I thought was fantastic. However, what won it for me, hands down, because I don't remember a bad episode in this season. I remember being super excited about each and every week, unlike a certain Star Wars show that was running at the time. And it has to be Star Trek, Strange New Worlds.
Ooh, that, good pick.
That won it for me. Absolutely love that show. Obviously, there are other Star Trek shows out there, but this one was the new one. It was the, should we say, set in the past. But it really did tick all the boxes for me for what I, before anyone says what their version of Star Trek is, it ticks the boxes for me. And I genuinely loved every single episode. Each episode seemed to have a different theme. We got to know and enjoy and love or hate each individual character of the main cast. And so overall, I think for new shows this year, definitely Star Trek Strange New Worlds for me.
Yeah, and that would be one of my A plus runners up. And I agree with you. I like that. To me, it feels like it's the most Star Trek that we're getting to that conversation, because it is the original series remade with better effects and different characters. Like, it's literally the original series if it was made today. And that's already was my favorite Star Trek before. And yeah, it's fun. You can jump from one week as a storybook episode, literally. The next week, it's Alien, almost literally. So it's fun. Exactly. You can do with it. Yep. You can do any genre within that show, because it's like, oh, new planet, new crazy shit happening, which is why I agree and I love Strange New Worlds. So let's continue. I'll start
really
this
quick
one. Yeah,
hold on, I just want to give an honorable mention to Stranger Things 4, because I think that was like a nice return to form for the mm-hmm. series, and it had like one of the most emotional scenes in TV this year, having to do with the running up that hill scene, which is really awesome. So,
I actually would be my official honorable mention if I had to pick one, would be Strange New Worlds. So again, we're all, I mean, not Stranger Worlds, Stranger Things. Lots of Strange Worlds this year. One of them I still need to see now that it's
on Disney+.
I did see
that. We need to talk about that in a bit. It's interesting.
I haven't seen it yet, but yeah. Okay, I'll go first on this one because we're kind of trading orders. Most disappointing movie or TV show. I had a TV show because I was thinking about movies and I was like, Jurassic World Dominion. I was like, no, how could it be disappointing when I figured it was going to be bad going in? So most disappointing for me, even though I should have figured this was going to be bad, was Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Oh, yeah. That sucked.
Coming after Mandalorian, you're like, okay, they've got this Disney Plus stuff down. I love Mandalorian. I enjoyed Boba Fett. Really, they haven't let us down yet, I would say, with bad product on Disney Plus Star Wars. But Obi-Wan Kenobi is bad product. It is just, even though it was attached to the prequels, where you think, oh, wait, it might have some of that prequel stank. You're like, oh, Ewan McGregor is excited. Like, we're going to get to see Obi-Wan be a Jedi. We have to see Hayden Christensen for some reason, even though I was rewatching with my roommate. We watched all of it in order. I'm like, he looks 50 years old. In this like scene, like they should have done some de-aging for Hayden Christensen, but I know Kyle agrees. I didn't know it was the first time rewatching. I was like, Christ, he looks old. But
I'm with you on this, Muppet.
Yeah, it just
disappointing is the word for this show, right? Because it seemed to go through some production challenges with Ewan's schedule, and then we had COVID, obviously. The zombie apocalypse, whatever we're allowed to call it on YouTube. And we had all those challenges, and he seemed to be dragging his feet about wanting to make sure the script and everything was all right. And so I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be good then, right? This is going to be good. And I think disappointing is probably the best word to describe it. It's not completely awful, but I just felt flat after watching it. In each week, I was just like, this is not what I thought I was going to get. So I'm with you. Disappointing. Yeah.
And that's why I didn't say like worst. I picked disappointing for the topic because, yeah, I had some hopes for it. And I was like, oh, yeah. I mean, there's a lot of bad things I could say about it and go on for a long time. But that's all I need. You said some good things about Obi-Wan, about why it was disappointing. So let's go Danny next.
Yeah, well, you know what? So I've been flip-flopping all day between movie, TV show. And I think the biggest disappointment, or the two, was Obi-Wan, for the reasons you and I have just discussed. But actually what's won it, as I've sat here and read my list down, was Thor, Love and Thunder.
That's a great one.
I thought someone was going to pick Doctor Strange, but good, interesting.
Thor's way worse.
There was some debate that were in my own head, and again, it comes to the disappointment. You know, I don't think anyone isn't aware of how I feel about the film. I really didn't like it, but I'm not saying it was awful. It wasn't the worst thing that Marvel's ever done. It's just for me,
it didn't.
Well, I mean, it's close. Let's be honest. It might be. I mean, Thor: Dark World might be borderline the first one, but it was just disappointing. It just hold on a minute, you just did all this awesome stuff in Ragnarok, and you did all this, and now I get this? I get talking fucking Krispy Kreme donuts or whatever it was?
It was a dumpling.
And I was just super disappointed with it. The humor fell flat to me. It was just a real hard slog. And so the word disappointing really goes into it. The only saving grace recently is when Cam from our website said, if you look at it as from Korg's point of view, he's telling the story, so it's going to be embellished with nonsense, then maybe that's what this story is. That's what the film was. It was Korg's representation of it. And I'm like, that's clutching at straws, but it's the only thing that's keeping me sane. But yeah, so for me, biggest disappointment movie-wise and generally over the year is Thor, Love and Thunder.
The only reason I thought you might pick or someone would pick Doctor Strange is because of the expectations that live-action Spider-Verse set for. Right. We're like, oh, the universe is going to fall apart. And instead it was a chase scene. I mean, a chase movie through multiverses, not the collapse that they keep fake promising, as Kyle and I have discussed often. Kyle's probably discussed on every podcast. I know we've discussed it here. We've discussed it in Marvel Multiverse Mayhem. But that's why I thought that might be a pick. And I don't get the Thor disappointment or hate. I enjoyed it, but I mean, I understand it, I guess. I just didn't feel it at all for that one.
For me, the biggest problem with that is
tone.
In addition to the tone, that's one part of it, but it lacked any subtext in its dialogue. Mm. You literally have at the beginning of the show, Thor going like, I am a warrior. I am a warrior who has, you know, gone through and lost things, and therefore I can't love again. It's like, why are you just straight out stating the themes of the movie? Why don't you just like, where's the subtext here? Where's the nuance? There's none. They literally explain everything. And like, you know, with Korg and the things like Thor did this and he would never love again and this and that, like they beat you over the head with it, which is why for the longest time I was like, why doesn't this work? Because I like the idea of the story. I like sort of the messaging, but it just it's falling so flat. And it's because it's like it was written by a child or like a teenager who didn't have any faith in the audience understanding what the movie was about and decided to flat out state everything at the camera.
Cool. Again, it was written by Korg for
right,
children,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah. Was
that your disappointing one then, Jammer?
I honestly hadn't even thought about it until you mentioned it. But no, for me, my disappointment, it's funny because it's not even something that I was super looking forward to, but it's something that I had faith in as episodes went on and then just kind of went crash. Recovered a little bit at the end, but not completely. And that is Moon Knight. Show, I think, had a killer first two episodes and then fell flat off a cliff. I don't know what happened. And I think that movie show is a testament to like the types of things that should have been a movie. Like, I think that would have been a much better movie if they had condensed it down to 2 hours.
Like Kenobi.
Like, I don't know if I don't even look at Kenobi and say, oh, there's a 2-hour movie in there somewhere. I can't see it.
There is a different plot too. Sorry.
But Moon Knight, I could certainly see that. So that's why it was disappointing, is I feel like a condensed version of that. To me, it's the best example of why Marvel should start relooking at some of their TV shows and thinking, can this be a movie? And then maybe committing to making them a movie as fits.
I also
like Armor Wars, exactly.
I also think they should look at some of their projects as 50-minute specials.
Yeah.
Special presentations and be like, do we really need 50 minutes to introduce yada, yada, yada? Like the rumor going around that they're looking at doing 2 Halloween specials. And first of all, I'm like, just do them as, they don't need to be holiday specials always. Just release these more special presentations. I literally, they're like, what would you pick? I'm like, I would literally turn Blade from a movie into a 50-minute special for his
introduction. Oh my God.
Then do Midnight Suns or something as a TV show.
Marvel fans would turn Snyderverse on you so hard. They
Which
would
might come up later.
Riot. They would riot.
Good. I'd love to hear the angry fanboys.
Good.
Let's do next best discovery. This could be something that you discovered from another year. It doesn't have to be new this year. It could be an actor, a song, a movie, a video game, what have you. Jammer, you'll lead this time.
So this is kind of a discovery because I already knew it existed and I already watched half of it last year, but then it kind of like, I got busy and I just fell off and I was like, I need to get back to that. I need to get back to that. I need to get back to that. But then as 2022 went on, I was thinking, what if it's not as good as I want it to be? What if it just shits the bed at the end? I'm going to be really disappointed in this image of what I think it could be is going to be gone. But I was like, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and sit down and finish
it. Me.
Arcane.
Oh, okay.
Arcane on Netflix. That show is fucking amazing. It's so good. And I think what's really good about it overall is like, yes, it has this epic fantasy background. And I can understand people thinking, it taking a little to get into with the first episode or two. But what it does is even if you have those points of it that you don't understand or don't make sense, there's this whole subplot having to do with technology. I don't understand what the fuck is happening in that at all. But you don't have to understand it in order to understand the character arcs and understand the relationships. The climax of the story is literally revolving around the relationships, and only just a small piece of it is all the politics and stuff. And that's where I think this show succeeds where others fail, like other fantasy shows fails. The other fantasy shows are like epic things. This, that's the big stakes. Whereas this one is, those are there, but the stakes are actually here. They're actually these relationships. And that's the most important part are these arcs, the journeys these characters go on, and their relationships. And that's why, for me, it just gets like standing ovation applause. I can't wait to see more from Fortige.
Sounds good. I've been looking to watch it because I've only heard good things. Danny, yeah, what was your best discovery of 2022?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Jammer, much like I just reminded him about Love and Thunder, has just reminded me about Arcane. I'd actually forgotten, if you remember a few weeks ago, I'd forgotten I'd watched it, Jammer. Do you remember? It's in there. So for me, there was a couple of things this year, and I love the fact that you put a big general sweep on this. It could be music or show or movie or actor. So an honourable mention to me is from someone from an Amazon Prime show that I'd never heard of before, Vox Machina. Really enjoyed it. Yeah, and I just for me, because I'm trying to, you know, over the years getting into these type of shows, the type of animation, I'm testing the water on different styles of animation. I'm still struggling with anime. Sorry, Kyle and Mrs. Kyle, I'm struggling with that. But I'm trying. I'm looking at different ones. And
we can't all be as great as us.
No, well, I'll
from a certain point of view.
but you still need to finish Madoka, Danny. Still need to finish Madoka.
Okay. All right. All right.
That's a commitment right there.
I've still got a few of those Batman animated series films to watch too, to try and get into that style. But for me, as a huge fan of a massively popular and worldwide known book franchise known as Reacher, see the actor known as Alan Ritchson on screen and again on another Amazon show, actually portraying what I always saw in my head, the visual representation when I'm reading these books of what Reacher looked like, the way he handles himself, the way he acts, not just his physical size, very empowering, but also his charm and his wit, etc. I think this actor, who has obviously been around for a while, has been in many things, but for me, Alan Ritchson portraying Reacher in the TV series has been a great discovery, and I am very, very excited about season two, and hopefully, who knows, maybe they will get a feature film out of it as well. And again, I wasn't necessarily hating on the Tom Cruise version because he did a good job for a Tom Cruise film with Reacher, but this actor in this show amazingly portrays this character. So for me, that was the breakout, that was the surprise, and that was that's what got me hooked.
I hope the audience does what I intend to do and take notes on this show. Well, Kyle will have nice little timestamps and go ahead and watch the things I haven't seen that you guys have brought up, both good, maybe not the bad things, but the good things. Like Mythic Quest is now on the list for sure, more than before, and Arcane and Reacher. Mine is actually an actor who his name is Murray Bartlett, no relation to Danny, unless Danny has relatives in Australia. He's been on TV for a long time, including lots of even shows my mom would watch, like The Good Wife and stuff, and small roles. But he broke out for me this year. He broke out for everyone else last year. I have one episode left, but Welcome to Chippendales is another possible A-plus show. And he plays Nick, a character who kind of ran with the idea from the creator, Steve Banerjee. And he's just a very interesting actor. And I'm like, it was really cool. And then I watched White Lotus season one, where he plays the hotel manager. I can't remember the character's name. That was like Antoine. It's like, I can't remember, but he's the hotel manager in White Lotus season one, which is another thing I really recommend is White Lotus season one, as far as the discovery. I hadn't seen it before. And just, he's fantastic. The only reason I recognized him from one show or the other, because he's actually Australian. He uses his Australian accent in White Lotus. When he's playing a real life person, he doesn't in Welcome to Chippendales, but he acts with his eyebrows. He has the most expressive eyebrows I've ever seen. Like, he's a good actor too, but like, his eyebrows are doing handling like half the work. They're not even the size of them, just the way he uses his upper forehead. And he's just delightful. And he would be my first pick if I could pick any actor to be in Knives Out 3, because I want to see his, like, him with the, which basically White Lotus is kind of like the Blanc films, where it's like, here's a new interesting cast of characters, we're throwing them together, and there's going to be one death at this resort at least each season, is all that show is. We're going to see everyone's problems and them talky. But he stole the show as far as a new actor I'd never noticed before this year. So Murray Bartlett is my pick for my favorite discovery of 2022. Danny, you're muted.
You're muted, Danny.
Sorry about it. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Which I was just saying, cool. We've got a couple of actors in the new discoveries, not just shows and stuff, which is great. Good for the listener, dear listener out there, or viewer.
And that's the only reason I made up this topic. So I've been wanting to talk about Murray Bartlett since I finished White Lotus season one last week. I'm like, I'm going to make up a topic that fits me. But our last topic is one that Danny came up with. So I guess I'll let Danny go first again. How did I word it? Let me see.
What pissed you off?
Yeah, what pissed you off the most in 2022? Yeah, what pissed us off the most in 2022?
Well, I think if to our long-term listeners and viewers out there that have stuck with us through thick and thin this year, there's only been one thing really that has really, really, to coin your phrase there, Nick, pissed me off. I would add other words in there, but we don't want to ruin the chances of YouTube actually allowing us to air this episode. But if you could think of many, all of the swear words put together, then my top pick would go to the film I'm about to mention. However, very recently, honorary mention is, I still want to know what happened to the water smurfs in Avatar, Way of the Water. It really is bugging me, because they're all there. Their daughter is one of the ones that's been captured and kidnapped and handcuffed again. And yet they all seem to disappear. And it's been grating me that each time I've seen the film. So it's not pissed me off, but it is an itch that I just can't scratch. However, the movie that has made me the most angry and gets me the most upset, and even now just attempting to say the word is starting to piss me off, is without doubt Moonfall. I will try and put it into words, but with a cast that is pretty damn good, and then you've got a end of the world set movie like Armageddon and Deep Impact and all those films, and they're all, you know, for want of a better word, nonsense. I'm willing to overlook the nonsense to enjoy the spectacle, but this film took absolute nonsense writing to a whole new level. It was absolutely abysmal from start to finish. I could go on for a whole 30 minutes on how much I hate this film and everything it did, but I don't think I want to again, because I'm already getting indigestion. Moonfall pissed me off more than anything else this year, even more than DC fans on Twitter. They pissed me off even more than those people, honestly. Moonfall. I would be glad to see the back of it in 2023.
I will go next. Danny, for some reason, I thought you were going to go with Fanboys, because I thought you were going to get mine. Mine is that. I'll get to a second. Snyder Bros is my number one piss off of the year, as should be every year. But I thought you were going to go with something more nebulous. In fact, when you were building it up, I'm like, well, he's going to mention the multiverse. He's tired of fucking multiverses. Sorry, excuse my one F-bomb that gets us PG-13. It keeps us at PG-13. But no, mine is Snyder Bros. Again, particularly the Fire James Gunn crowd. Yes, yep. It's not what you wanted, but the DC universe so far is what most people don't want also. I just hate the idea that you have to, I am all for like hashtag save something. So fine. Hashtag release Snyderverse, hashtag save Solo or make Solo 2, hashtag save Legends of Tomorrow, whatever. But when you have to get super negative about it, it'd be like hashtag fire somebody. It's like bleep you, or buddy. Worse. Yeah, it's yeah, or worse. It's like hashtag kill James Gunn or something. It's like just let.
Okay, there's no hashtag for kill James Gunn. Calm
well, he
down.
Said or worse. There are definitely. I'm not sure if there's one for James Gunn. There are definitely hashtags like that, but that's usually more reserved
for
politics.
I do feel like they have supplanted, and I don't know if this is a result of just how much they've mobilized online or a result of Twitter not actually working anymore, but I feel like every single time I look, there's always a hashtag boycott WBD, hashtag yeah, gun that, and Safran out, hashtag stuff. James Gunn, fire James Gunn, hashtag bring back Zack Snyder. I look right now, currently, hashtag boycott WBD, Warner Brothers Discovery, is trending, at least according to what I have. It's that says it's trending
your interest or whatever.
Yeah, it might be catered to my interest, but I don't know. And I don't know if it's broken since Musk, you know, took over and fired it, you know, more than half the staff, or pretty much they're left with a skeleton crew at this point, from what I understand. So I have no idea if it's just not updating effectively. But regardless, they're annoying me too. They're also the thing that's pissing me off. You know me, I'm a Snyder fan. I love Justice League. I really liked Batman v Superman, and I enjoy
Ultimate Cut,
Man of Steel, Ultimate Cut, Ultimate Edition. And I would be up for seeing more of his stuff personally, but at the same time, it's like, hey, got a clean house. You got to do what you got to do. He had his chance. He had three movies. I think he was able to mostly effectively tell a complete narrative about the journey of Superman. Now let's move on to something else. I'm fine with that. Let's go. So children, you know, do something else with your lives. Do something else. Stop trying to move icebergs with doggy paddles. That's not going to do anything. It's just stop.
Well, it's
just
like stop. I've been saying, they already gave the mouse a cookie. They gave them the release the Snyder Cut. And now they're like, look, we can pressure them into more stuff. I mean, that's not the
not
only
with,
result of it,
Lav.
But
Zaslav is that guy's a savage. He's a beast.
Yeah. So is that actually your number one least favorite thing
that's
too?
Yeah. 100% the Zack Snyder bros. And I like him. So, you know, you turned one of your own against you, Snyder bros.
Yep.
Now,
yep.
Hashtag don't restore the Snyderverse. I don't want to see what you get it? Rewarded for your troubles.
Stall real quick. I have a tweet to bring up that has to do with the
okay.
Snyder bros.
I mean, did that bother you at all this year, Danny, the Snyder folks, or have you just stayed off Twitter?
Yeah, no, Twitter is on it, and I'm the same as you. I'm getting the same kind of what's trending now stuff. It is very frustrating and disappointing, I guess, because I'm the old man of LRM and Breaking Geek. I remember the days when having the movies and the shows and the choices that we have right now was a pipe dream. I would never dream that we would get the big screen versions of the movies that we've had, whether it's from Marvel or Star Wars or DC. And so it's very easy to be pissed off with you don't get what you want and stuff. But when I think back of what we, you know, the things that I would have dreamed to have, and now we're living in it, we're having multiple shows on multiple platforms with these multiple versions of our beloved characters from comic books on the big screens, it's almost like I want to bang their heads together and say, just be thankful we've got what we've got. It's not all great. Sometimes it's not good at all, but we've got it. We've got the stuff that we've always imagined we would have. Okay, it doesn't quite match what version 17 of a comic strip in 1984, you're wearing a different colored suit or whatever, but we've got what we always wanted. Let's just enjoy it. And to be so negative about it, it's like, well, James Gunn's done some pretty cool shit. I'm very much looking forward to what happens in DC now. And as much as I like Zack Snyder too, I'm ready for the new big thing. Let's give it to me. I want to see it. I want Lobo. God damn it. And I mentioned that in Christmas. Give me Lobo.
You might even get the actor you want, according to random sources.
Yeah, but, well, I mean, we've got Flashpoint thing, whatever they're doing. Who knows what happens to the characters? They could all end up in different suits, and who knows? Mr. Momoa could be the main man. That's a lot of
awesome.
By the way, I also do want to mention, I didn't mention this before. I don't know why. Oh, no. Am I here? Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, you're here.
Peacemaker. You're there. Peacemaker was a runner-up for me for this year. That was one of the best
shows.
It's one of my 28 pluses.
Yeah.
Okay, I found it. Does r/ mean it's Reddit, or could that be on any?
Yes.
Okay, so this is from Reddit under the Snyder Cut page.
Kyle, I'm sorry. Would you be able to cut that out if you're willing?
You guys are pansies.
Sorry. Sorry, Nick. Yeah, I don't want to platform.
I was just proving how dark they are.
No, I get it. Yeah, I mean, have any attention.
What Nick just referred to was something that is a great example of what we have just been discussing, which is the toxicity of a certain section of fans, particularly related to the DC universe and Zack Snyder. And it's not something that we want to see or hear, but it was a great example of exactly why it pissed us off this year. So, yeah. So apologies that we're not going to let you hear that, but we don't think they should have that platform. So, yeah.
Good point. Good point.
Great example, Nick. Great cool. example.
Yeah, that's crazy. I didn't even think it got that crazy. Apparently,
I mean, it's one person tweeting something. I don't even know how many likes or whatever it got. But yeah, that's don't take entertainment that far. You can fill in the blanks what we're talking about. We're not going to read it or play it. But anything else about 22 in review, fellas?
One thing I do wish did better this year. I just saw it this past weekend, and that was Strange World. It wasn't perfect. It was good and fun. And that's the animated film that came out during Thanksgiving.
That no one knew was coming out. That no one knew, I think, is what you're about to talk about.
Yeah, it's just, it's both frustrating and it's nice in that it's frustrating in that Bob Chapek clearly sandbagged animation in his reign. Bob Iger is now back. So I'm hoping that there'll be an increase focus on animation and what it brings to the table. Strange World, I thought it was a good movie. I had some flaws. It dragged a little bit, but I also think that even though it dragged a little bit, it could have used an extra 15 more minutes so we could have settled in with the characters more. But overall, like, I enjoyed it, and I think it was fun, and I think it deserved to do better than what it did. I'm just kind of disappointed by that. I wish it did better, and I hope that Disney takes animation better, more seriously in the future.
Danny, anything else about 2022?
No, not for me, but my nephew, my eldest nephew is here, and he had something. What was it? Was it disappointing or pissed you off, Mason? Which one was it? Which subject was it? Yeah, Uncharted. Something that didn't get an amendment. I actually enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it too.
Yeah, well,
I didn't watch it.
Only because I...
Come a bit closer, buddy.
But only because I played the games and it didn't feel like it was an Uncharted game.
Uncharted. Not Enchanted, that was all right.
When it came out, I felt like it needed to be like a game.
Almost like a game.
They took it to a place that
wasn't the game.
Yeah.
There you go. But would you watch another one?
Yeah.
There you go. See, now why can't we fans be like that? Thanks, buddy. Where if you get it's not quite what you wanted, it's not quite the game, but you enjoyed it enough to want another one, right? I'd actually forgotten about Uncharted, which is why Mason just brought it up. But no, I think it's been a great year. It's had ups and downs. We've had goods and bads. We've had disappointments. But like I was just saying a few minutes ago, I am happy to be living in this time where I've got so much of the stuff I enjoy on the big screens and the smaller screens. It's been a great year. I look forward to 2023, much of the same. And I'm sure we're going to have lots of great conversations about what was good and what was bad over what's coming up next year.
I will say my last thing. I forgot to mention it. If anyone's looking to, I'm sure it's a small role because I don't know how the story works for Last of Us. But Murray Bartlett's next project, the guy I was talking about, is The Last of Us.
He's in The Last of Us. The Last of Us.
He's in The Last of Us. Yeah. Well, I said his next project is. He's not making it. I thought his next project is.
Okay. I thought you said Murray Bartlett is The Last of Us.
It'll probably be a smallish role, but. It's the first thing that comes up on his Wikipedia page, even though it's not up out yet. But I just want to thank all of our listeners and the Kyle a great deal for really kicking the genreverse into overdrive this year, from our YouTube channel to the professional editing. We're all on HD video now for you folks, and that's all because of our editor, Kyle. Semi-HD. He's like, I look better than all of you.
Unless we start recording like individually our own separate things and then Zoom send him has the files.
Zoom has a max and I can't do the separate file stuff. That would be too much work. But there are some potentials for some 1080p video stuff in the future. But we'll see. Subscribe, support us.
Yep, exactly. We love you guys. This, as I mentioned earlier, we just completed our third year of Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast. Our anniversary isn't until March.
Third year?
This is our third year being on the air.
Really? That's it? It's been longer, hasn't it?
No, because we started. Remember, we had our 3-year anniversary in March.
I don't remember that.
When we did Batman, and it was our anniversary show.
Oh, I thought it was longer than that. I don't know, man. I don't know what I'm talking about.
But next
you're running
year,
us into Los Fanboys and LR Mornings memories.
Yeah.
Well, I was just trying to also think. I know that Nick and Tanya and Jonesy were there for a while. There was like a year without me.
It started with March 2019 when our first show was Captain Marvel, which was 2019. But between, because I know that because that was the year of Endgame. And obviously, it was one of the movies they slipped in the middle.
Right before?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we want to thank you all for being here for us, for being here for the network. I'm really looking for, I've enjoyed every podcast I've done this year. I look forward to another great year with these gentlemen and Jonesy and whoever else we can get involved. So with that, I'll wrap it up. You've been listening to Breaking Geek Radio, the podcast. We thank you again for having you here. We are on the Genreverse Podcast Network and LRMonline.com, where there are many great shows. Anime Versal Reviews, AVR Squared. I know it's that because I know it's short for Anime Versal Reviews Squared. The Cantina, our Star Wars podcast. Marvel Multiverse Mayhem is on hiatus until we actually have some content to actually talk about for now, because it's not, I don't know, we're tired of doing news and stuff too, but we'll be back when there is Loki, I think, is the next thing. God, now I feel like, and then Daily Cup of Genre, Genre Shot, I didn't do it in the actual order. Did I forget any? Nice. We got them all. Anywhere you stream your podcasts, watch us on YouTube. Danny, where art thou?
Thou art in Dubai still, about to build momentarily a Christmas gift, which looks a little bit like...
It's Lego. Ooh, that's a really cool Lego.
So
yes,
I
now I call
in Dubai
it Lego.
Playing with my hammer.
Jammer, where can thou be foundeth?
Thou can out be foundeth at AJ Cerna Writer on Twitter, as well as on TikTok. And you can also find my books under the name AJ Cerna on Amazon, Audible, and at Magia Books, MAGIABooks.com.
And I am at Geeky Nick Doll on Twitter. We have Kyle, our producer, is at that Kyle Malone on Twitter. And Happy New Year, everyone. Hasta lasagna.
Do not get any on ya. Mission. Oh, damn it. Accomplished.
Mission. Oh, damn it. Oh, mission impossible. Damn it.